Father, thank you for the joy of worshiping you together. Lord, we know we don't have much to bring to you, but Lord, we also know there's so much that you bless us with. And within, there's still a real great need of you. We want to know you better. We want to serve you better. We want to love you more. So Lord, speak to us as we look into your word this morning, I pray. Amen. Created to dream, that's the theme of the Bible studies of Rick Warren's we're looking at during the week, and that's the theme of our Sunday teaching right through that series as well. Different aspects. Today I want to look at what's the second stage really of developing a dream, and the second stage basically is you've got to make a move. You've got to make a move. I said last Sunday that the thing is with dreams for me, I don't remember them. I'll wake up some mornings thinking, what was that dream again? But I did have a dream this week that I remembered, and I still remember it. I was on a JetBlue flight, right? But it must have been a small plane because there were only five rows. There were five rows, and there was like one seat, an aisle, two seats. I was sitting in the second row over this side of the aisle on the end seat, right? And across from me diagonally in the first row, the first seat, was Jeff Bezos. Okay, founder of Amazon, second richest man in the world. I only travel with class people, I want you to know. Right, so Jeff Bezos was there, who apparently in my dream also owned JetBlue. So across from me immediately in the second row was my friend Dave Payton, who when we were kids was the first person who invited me to a church youth group, which is where I found Jesus. I haven't seen Dave for nearly 60 years, but he was there and we were traveling somewhere together. And at some point I said something across the aisle today to Dave, and Jeff Bezos turned around and said to me, "Don't be so ridiculous." So I said to Jeff Bezos, "You may be richer than I am, but it doesn't make you any better than I am." Amen. Right? Right? And it got better, folks. I said, "I am never going to fly on your JetBlue airline ever again." So I remember that dream. That was the day I stuck it to Jeff Bezos, right? It's like, yeah, we're not talking about that kind of dream. Created to dream is that really God wants us to be people who are constantly looking to see what he's got for us ahead and moving towards it. There's a terrific quote from T.E. Lawrence that I really love. It's kind of written in a bit old English, but you'll get it. It says, "All men dream, but not equally. Those who dream by night in the dusty recesses of their minds wake up in the day to find it was vanity." I really wasn't on that flight, right? "But the dreamers of the day are dangerous men, for they may act their dreams with open eyes to make them possible." That's the kind of dream I'm talking about. Those who dream in the day, they're dangerous people because they may well, while they're wide awake, act on their dreams. Listen to the next bit. To make them possible. What I want to talk about this morning is making a move. It's all very well to have something in our minds that we think, you know, have a dream before us. But the fact is this. We're going to go nowhere unless we make a move. And let's just make this clear. I shared last week the dream that God gave me really for this church, how really I felt God wanted this church to be and how I longed for it to be as well. I shared that. I'm not suggesting everybody in this building needs to have a dream to establish a church. But the fact is, while your dreams don't have to be huge, they need to be bigger than you are. And today I want to encourage you to make a move. All right, here's today's bit of unbelievable wisdom. If you don't live pushing your limits, you'll never know what your limits are. Right? If you don't live pushing your limits, if you sit and say, well, I could never do that, that could never happen. You know what? That's it. The limit of your life is going to be where you're sitting there. But if you start to push your limits, you may find, hey, look at that. I can do that after all. Look at that. That did happen. Look at that. God did come through for me. But the fact is this, if you don't live pushing your limits, you'll never know what your limits are. I want to share with you this morning from a story in Mark's gospel. And the first step to making a move is to seize the moment. Seize the moment. And there's a story in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. And here's how it goes. Let me just read it to you. Then Jesus and his disciples arrived in Jericho. When they were leaving the city again, a large crowd of people followed them. A blind man was sitting by the side of the road. He was asking people to give him money. His name was Bartimaeus, and he was the son of Timaeus. Somebody told Barnabas that Jesus of Nazareth was walking past him. So he began to shout. He said, Jesus, son of David, please be kind to me and help me. Many people were angry with Bartimaeus. They told him he should be quiet. But he shouted even louder than before, son of David, please help me. Jesus stopped. He said to the people, tell that man to come here. So the people said to the blind man, be brave, stand up. Jesus is asking you to go to him. So Bartimaeus threw away his coat. He jumped up and he came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to Jesus, teacher, I want to see again. Go, Jesus said to him. You are well now because you believed in me. Immediately, Bartimaeus could see again. He followed Jesus along the road. I love that story. Back in my late 20s, I guess, when I was still pastoring with the Assemblies of God, I did a lot of preaching for a lot of the Assemblies of God churches all around the UK, and they'd have conferences and conventions and stuff, and I was kind of all around the place preaching for them. Now, I want to give you a tip, or here's a little insight to the life of a preacher. Right, you ready? Never try out a new sermon at a big event. No, really, don't do it. Don't do it. You know, I've had some Sundays come in here, I think, oh, man alive, this is I'm ready to go. And I preached it and thought, oh, dear. You know, and Sundays like that are good because it makes you realize without God you can do nothing, right? But so when I was preaching in these conferences, there were periods when, you know, there was a sermon that I would have preached in our own church, and it seemed to go really well, and I think, hey, that's a winner, I'm going to preach that one. And then at the bottom of the notes of that sermon, I typed where I preached it and what date, so that I didn't go back and preach the same thing again the next time, right? Because it's a winner. And I had a sermon about Bartimaeus, and at the bottom of it, I've got written in all kinds of churches that I preached it in, and the dates of it spanning several years, because it was a great sermon. I wish I knew where it was now, because I could have just preached out this morning. But I don't. But I do remember one thing that struck me from this story way back then, which is very relevant to us when we're talking about seizing the moment. In that passage, it says Jesus and his disciples came to Jericho. And then here's the key phrase. And as they were leaving the city, Bartimaeus caught Jesus when he was leaving the city. Now, why is that particularly relevant? Let me tell you why that's relevant. If you continue to read through Mark's gospel, you will find that Jesus never came back to Jericho again. He went on there towards Jerusalem, where he would be arrested and he would be crucified, where he would show himself after his resurrection a number of times, and from where he would ascend back to heaven. Jesus wasn't coming to Jericho. He wasn't in Jericho. He was leaving Jericho. And if Bartimaeus had not seized that moment, it would never, ever have occurred again. He would never have had that opportunity. He sees the moment. Here's what Scripture says to you and me. The book of Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15. Now is the time. Never forget the warning. Today, if you hear God's voice speaking to you, do not harden your hearts against them. Now is the time. Here, if you hear God's voice today, it's the time to respond to God's voice. That question that has been attributed to so many different people or questions, if not you, who? If not now, when? Today. And my encouragement to you all this morning, here in person, watching us online, is this. In whatever way it applies to you in your life just now, if God is talking to you today about pursuing your dream, seize the moment. It may not happen again. Make today the day when you make a move. You see, in this moment, procrastination is our greatest enemy. If Barnabas had said, you know what, I don't want to make a spectacle of myself. I'll catch Jesus next time he comes through. His limit would have been to spend his whole life as a blind beggar because he didn't venture out when he had the opportunity. I read this little kind of thing that I'm sure some of us will identify with. I spent a fortune on a trampoline, a stationary bike, and a rowing machine, complete with gadgets to read my pulse and gadgets to prove my progress results, and others to show the miles I've charted. But they left off the gadget to get me started. Yeah, I've been there. You can call it the manana syndrome if you want. I'll do it tomorrow, or as Shakespeare's Macbeth says, tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. It's always tomorrow. You know, you can put off what God wants you to do for so long that kind of, you know what, when you decide you'll make a move, it's like, it doesn't seem like he wants me to do it anymore. We can't presume on tomorrow. You know that. The Bible reminds us of that over and over again. So if you learn just one thing from Bartimaeus this morning, let it be this. Whatever your dream is, make a start. Seize the moment. Job says this, Job 9, verse 25. He says, the days of my life are passing very quickly, like a fast runner. Now, if you're kind of, you know, under 25 or under 20 here today, you're probably going to say, yeah, that's what old people say. Perhaps because it's true. Or Job 8, verse 9, our lives are like shadows that quickly disappear. Stop procrastinating. Start doing what you already feel is God's dream for you. And I really believe that God brought some of you here today, to had some of you watching us this morning, so that he could say to you, stop making excuses. Make a move. Seize the moment. That's the first step. The second is this. If we're going to make a move, we need to seize the moment. And then the second is, we need to silence our fear. silence her fear. When you start to move towards your God-given dream, fear will never be far away, because faith and fear are basically different sides of the same coin. They can't coexist. You can't be looking at both of them at the same time, but they're very, very close to one another. That's why often the scariest times in our life also double as the most exciting times in our lives. Weird, isn't it? Right? I remember years ago, went to Williamsburg, to, what's it, Williamsburg? Great Adventure, is it? Whatever it is. Busch Gardens, thank you. That's good. Glad somebody's on the ball. We went to Busch Gardens. Charlotte and Jonathan were quite young at the time. And we go to Busch Gardens. And we get into Busch Gardens there. And I don't know how it is nowadays. But it was all themed according to countries. And the first country you came to was Scotland. So it was like, hey, we've got to go here first and see what's here. And there was a roller coaster. I don't do roller coasters. Right? I really don't. And there's this roller coaster there, and Jonathan and Charlotte are, you know, they're, I don't know, teenagers probably back then. And they said, hey, let's go on this roller coaster. Dad, are you going to come? They knew better than to ask their mother. Why did they have to ask me? You know, Jill wasn't going. So, Dad, are you going to come? Dad, it's called the Loch Ness Monster. Dad, it's a Scottish thing. You've got to come on it. So I listened to Charlotte. Dear Lord, I've spent a lifetime doing that when you think about it. But anyway, so I listened to Charlotte. I get on this roller coaster, you know, and I put the thing down or whatever, strap myself in, and they make the announcement. Welcome to the roller coaster with the biggest drop in the world. My God, I can't open this thing. There is no way out of this thing. And so I'm on this roller coaster, ready to throw up after about, you know, half a minute. And we're going up and down and all over the place and feeling absolutely, absolutely awful. And, you know, I'm saying, God, if you get me off this thing, I'll never do it again. And then we got off it, you know, and I said, forget that. That was scary. And I can't remember which one. Either Charlotte or Jonathan said, yeah, it really was, wasn't it? Can we go on again? It's amazing how sometimes the scariest of our experiences also double as the best of our experiences. And the truth is this, if we want to live out the dream that God places in our hearts, we're going to have to face our fears. Because the thing is this, there's nothing more exciting than overcoming your fear and seeing things turned around. Fear will leave you paralyzed where you are. And I guess one of our biggest fears is the fear that we'll fail in something. And fear that we'll sort of look bad. Now, I couldn't do that because we don't want to, you know, we don't want others to see us as somebody who couldn't do it. And back to the story of Bartimaeus, that must have been part how his life was. He was a beggar. He relied totally on the goodwill of others. Day in, day out, he went to this spot and he sat there and he begged. And it's like that was his station in life. That was his lot. So what if he shouted out to Jesus and Jesus ignored him? That would be really humiliating. Or what if he shouted out to Jesus and the crowd around him started to get angry with him and upset for him for spoiling the day? And actually, he soon found out what happened because he did face his fear and he did shout out to Jesus. And in verse 48, it says this, many people were angry with Bartimaeus. They told him that he should be quiet. But he shouted, hey, good for you, man, go for it. He shouted even louder than before. Son of David, please help me. The people were angry, but Bartimaeus' life was revolutionized that day. Let me tell you this. Don't be afraid of people who don't understand your dream. God gave your dream to you. He did not give your dream to them. So don't let others put you down. Rather, be afraid of missing out on the rewards that will be yours as you pursue that adventure. Proverbs 29, verse 25 says this, "The fear of human opinion disables. Trusting in God protects you from that." I'm going to read that again, because it might be that some of you particularly need to hear this morning. The fear of human opinion disables. If you go by what other people say or you think they are going to say, you'll find it crippling. There comes a point where you've got to say, I don't care if you're the second richest man in the world, cut it out. Right? The fear of human opinion disables, but trusting in God protects you from all that. He faced his fear. It's always scary to take a step in faith. But remember, God is always faithful. Silence your fear, and you do that by facing it. Make a move. I've got no idea what I may be stirring up this morning, or should I really say what God's stirring up this morning. But you know what? I'm just enjoying the fact I believe he is. That some of you, you know, God's making a little bit restless now. And what you're hearing is, I really need to start to make a move. Seize the moment. Silence your fear. And you know what comes next? Share your faith. Tell others. Tell others what your dream is. Tell others what you're going to go for. Bartimaeus shouted, everybody heard him. Tell them. A number of years ago when I was pastoring in Scotland, you know, we were in a very small community, a small village, and about 5 miles away from us was the next town, which wasn't huge, but it was a lot bigger than we were. And one of the fascinating factors about our church is we had quite a number of folks who came from the town out to the village to be part of our church. Now, if you think about it, in most communities that doesn't happen. You go from the village into the town. You don't do it the other way around. But we had a number of people from that town. And one Friday, there was a weekly newspaper that the town published every Friday. And I used to get it. I was reading it. And in the adverts there, I saw an advert for a business that was for sale. It was a coffee shop that I knew well. Jill and I went to plenty of times. It was a good coffee shop right in the middle of town. And I knew the guy who owned it. And he put an advert in saying, business for sale. And I looked at that and I thought, wouldn't it be great to have a presence right in the middle of the town where people could perhaps connect with us a bit more? So I called him, the owner. Davey, what's happening with the coffee shop? He said, well, we've got 2 other businesses. We've decided to let the coffee shop go. So I said, so, you know, what are we talking about here? He said, well, we want to sell kind of, you know, we'll sell the coffee shop as it is, everything in it. So it's all ready to go still. And so we're looking to sell that. Then, of course, you know, you pay so much for a business, for the goodwill and the reputation. And then you just rent the coffee shop itself off of us. And he gave me a figure for that. And I said to him, so when do you want to make the transition? He said, as soon as possible. I said, will you give me a month? And please take it off the market. I'm going to take it from you in a month. All right, just think about this. I had no experience with coffee shops. I'm a pastor. I don't know coffee shops, right? We had no money to buy it off of him, right? I'm so glad that not having money never bothered God, aren't you? Right? So we had no money to do it. And so I shared the vision. Our church there was like some of you are. Whenever I stand up and say, I want to talk to you about something, you kind of take a deep breath, right? So, what's coming now? So that Sunday, I shared with our folks. I said, I'm not asking you to give any money. I'm just asking you, will you pray? Will you pray that God provides? And in the next 4 weeks, we had all the money we needed to take over that business. We had a manager from our church ready to install. We had a baker because all the baked goods in that coffee shop were baked fresh on site. We had a baker ready to move in and do the baking, and we had the basic staff that we needed to get the place going. But you know what? If I'd looked at that ad, phoned Davy, said, well, we don't have that money, it would never have happened. Are you with me? So you know what you got to do? You got to seize the moment. And then when you seize the moment, what you've got to do then is you've got to face your fear. Like, how is it going to look a month from now if I say, Davy, you better put it back on the market because I ain't got the money, right? You've got to face your fear. And then what you've got to do is tell others. Share your faith. Mark 10, verse 51. Here's Bartimaeus, right? Shouts out to Jesus. And Jesus said, what can I do for you? The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. He made a bold declaration. Jesus, what do you want me to do for you? Now, for all he knows, Jesus might have been willing to throw him a few bucks. But that wasn't, you know, but what do you want? And he asked for the big thing. He said, you know what? I want to see. Can you restore my sight to me? And he spoke out what he was believing for. You know, it's good to tell other people what our dream is and what we're trusting God for, because a secret faith becomes a shallow faith and it goes nowhere. But he made this public declaration of faith in Jesus to heal him. You were created to dream. Be bold about your faith. There's a story in the book of Acts that I love. It's towards the end of Acts, and the Apostle Paul has been arrested, gone through some trials and things, and is now on a ship on his way to Rome, where he has asked to appeal his case to Caesar. And he's on this ship on the way to Rome, and there is a tremendous storm arises, an absolutely fierce storm. And it goes on for several days. And there's even during the daytime, everything's dark and black. It's a vicious storm. And the ship looks like it's going to fall apart, and they throw stuff overboard to lighten the load of the ship. And everybody's terrified. These sailors know we're going to die. And then Paul, one day, stands up and says, cheer up, everybody. Tonight, last night, whatever, the angel of the Lord stood by me. An angel from God came to me. And here's what the angel said to me. Paul, don't worry. You have got to go to Rome. And everybody on this ship is going to be safe. The ship will be lost, but no life is going to be lost. So here's Paul, some prisoner they've got, right? Reputation as a preacher of heresy. And here's this guy says, hey, you know what? I saw an angel tonight, and I believe what the angel said. Now, some of you would think twice about that. Come on, if somebody said that to you, wouldn't you? I would. I'd say, okay, tell me a bit more about this. But here's what he went on and said. He said this, Acts 27, verse 25. Because of the angel's message, I say to you, be brave, my friends. I trust God. I know that everything will happen in the way the angel told me. Be brave, my friends. I trust God. Be brave. Be brave. I trust God. Trust God yourselves. Everything will happen in the way that God has showed you. Be brave. Be brave enough to believe God and to share your faith. The more people share your dream, the more people can pray for you, the more people can help you, the more people can encourage you. I believe God, he said. It was impossible. It was ridiculous. But he said, I believe God, and it happened. Don't live your life limited to what is possible and what seems logical. Be willing to believe God for what is impossible and see what God will do. What's the next step of faith you're going to take? to see your dream come true. It might be to share your faith. And then let me just say this finally. The fourth step is this. Then you see God move. You seize the moment. You move against your fears. You announce your faith. Here's what I'm looking for. Here's what I'm believing for. And you receive God's grace. Why do I put it that way? I put it that way because we need to recognize that everything that's done in our lives and that happens in our lives is not because we earned it and deserved it. It's because God is a God full of grace and goodness. Everything. Everything. So when God moves to do something that seemed impossible, that frightened the life out of us, it isn't a case of, hey, look at me, I did that. It isn't a case of, well, God came through and I earned that. It's a case of God's being gracious. And he always, always will be. Jesus turned to Bartimaeus then. He said to him, on your way, your faith has saved and healed you. And in that instant, he recovered his sight. He spoke what he dreamed of to Jesus. He spoke what he dreamed of so that everybody around could hear. And God's grace came to him. And he was healed that day. I don't know what, you know, really in detail where any of you are at today, where your lives are at today, but it might be that some of you are feeling a bit like Bartimaeus, like this is my lot in life and I guess I got to deal with it. Maybe you're in a lot of unhappiness. But you know, Jesus always wants to take us further. But we've got to be willing to make a move. We've got to be willing to face our fears. Every one of us in here today, we're at different stages of life and we're at different stages of faith and we've got different dreams. So I don't know what step is the next step for you here today, but what I do know is this, you need to take it or it will never happen. Hey, for some of you, the next step might be to actually commit your life to Jesus as your Savior. And maybe you've been thinking about it and wondering about it. Shall I? Shan't I? Next Sunday. No, maybe next Sunday. Maybe next Sunday. And you know what? It's the kind of manana approach still. How about today being the day where you make the step and say, Lord Jesus, I want to give my life to you. And I want you to be my Lord and Savior. Hey, you might have made that move, but you're sitting here today, and I'm sure, I'm absolutely certain, there's got to be some folks here today, and you've sat and you've watched us baptizing people every quarter, and you've said, you know what, I'd like to do that. But you haven't. You haven't. You haven't taken that next step. And I want to encourage you to make the move. Make the move. Be brave about it. Next time I'll do it. Next time I'll do it. Next time I'll. And it's like, hey, it ain't happening, dude. Right? Okay, by the way, next time will be Sunday, March the 30th. And there is a sign-up sheet at the front desk today through the barn doors on the left. If that's you, seize the moment. Seize the moment when God is speaking to you, or whatever. It might be that you've been listening to kind of us talk about Bible studies, and you've said to yourself for long enough, you know what, I think I'd like to get into a Bible study group, but I don't really know much of the Bible. Exactly. Exactly. That's like saying, I want to lose weight, then I'll join Weight Watchers. No, you don't do it that way, right? If you want to learn more about the Bible, you go to the Bible study. Maybe that's the next. Maybe you said, I'd really like to get better connected here at church. And how do I do that? And I'm going to tell you, if you commit to serving in one of our teams, That's going to be a great way to do that. Maybe you've thought about that. Maybe you've heard us say, if you're interested in helping here, instead of helping there, and the moment's passed, next time. It's next time. Or maybe whenever we've mentioned missions trips, it's like, you know, I really want to go on a missions trip one day. Stop it with one day. When are you going? Which one? Can't be May. We're full already. Charlotte was looking to take a smaller team. That never happens at Genesis. We don't do stuff small where volunteers are concerned. But make the commitment. Maybe it's something in your family life or in your personal life. Maybe it's something in your work life. Maybe it's something to do with your career. I don't know what your next step is, but whatever that dream is that's within your heart, don't just live with a dream. Make a move so the dream can become a reality. Let me just say this. I said finally 5 minutes ago, I know, but I do watch the clock. I just want you to notice something quickly here. In Mark 10:46, here's what it says. It says, Bartimaeus was sitting beside the road as Jesus was going by. He was sitting there and life was passing him by. Verse 52, it says this, Bartimaeus regained his sight and he began following Jesus on the road. He wasn't sitting beside the road anymore. He was following Jesus on the road. There was more for him. And there's more for every one of us. Are you sitting beside the road while life's going by? Or are you following Jesus on the road? Are you going to step out and live the dream that God's placed within your heart? First step is to make a move. Let's take a moment to pray, please. And as we pray, I just want to take us a moment just to quietly take in what God might have been saying to you this morning and respond from your heart. Identify step one and say, God, I'm going to take that step. I'm going to take that step. Lord, I thank you today that you created every one of us with a purpose that you have for us. God, I pray that we will live out and fulfill to the full that God-given purpose. Lord, help us not to shrink back into what's secure. But help us, Lord, to push the limits so that we can find out what they really are. How far we can go, what you can really do for us. God, deliver us from being ordinary when you've created us for extraordinary, I pray. Amen.